السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، we had started this kitab, شوق وطن, the desire for returning home, desire for the akhirat. We had covered the point or the time when a person is passing away, how much of glad tidings are given to a believer, how much of honor is shown to a believer at the time of his mawt, at the time when he is passing away. Now we move on to after he has passed away, what now happens to the ruh, what happens to the soul after this person has passed away. Before we carry on, I was just calculating. So from Maghrib time, if we just say Maghrib is at 6 o'clock, you know it's about 10 to, but if we just say 6 o'clock, and Sehri ends, it's around 1:45, but if we say 4 o'clock in the morning, what time it ends? Sehri ends 4:45. It's about 4:45. So you're looking at about 11 hours from Maghrib to the time that Sehri ends. It's about 11 hours. So the night is about 11 hours long. So if a person has to sit now from Tarawih time, now one is the Maghrib namaz, etc. That's about half an hour that he will be in the masjid that time, right? Then from, if you say 7 o'clock, he's sitting in the masjid from about 7 o'clock and he sits till 11. Right? So that's 4.5 hours he'll be in the masjid and he'll be engaged in some form of ibadat. Right? Then in the morning, if he sits again from 2:30 to 3:30, so that will be the program. Then after 3:30, he may read 2 rakats namaz or something. But if we just say 1 hour in the morning, so then it is 5.5 hours. So the person would have spent half the night in ibadat. If he follows that tartib, he would have spent half the night in ibadat. And obviously if he doesn't come for the morning, and he just sits from that 7 o'clock to 11, then at least 1/3 the night he has spent in ibadat. So this is why we have programmed it like this or made it like this, because in the Quran Sharif in Surah Muzammil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qumil layl, stand the whole night. Then Allah Pak says, if not the whole night, then half the night. If not half the night, thuluthayil layl. Thuluthayil layl wa nisfahu wa thulutha. That if you can't stand the whole night, you can't make ibadat whole night, then at least half the night. If you can't make half the night, then at least 1/3 the night. And then Allah Pak knew that there would be weak people like myself on earth. So Allah Pak said, then if you can't do that also, then at least some portion of the night spend it in ibadat. Some portion, whatever portion you can. فَقْرَؤُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ. Read the Quran Sharif in the night. Whatever you can manage to read, read. So the whole year we don't have the strength to stay up for half the night or even 1/4 the night. We don't have the strength to stay up. But at least on these odd nights, if we make a little bit of himmat with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then at least we can make amal on this, on these ayat of the Quran Sharif. If we go home, we know what is our halat if we go away home. Very few people have got that willpower to stay awake now alone at home, to stay awake. You read a little bit and you start feeling tired, you start feeling groggy. Some people, alhamdulillah, they got that willpower, they can do it. But most people generally, you will read for a short while and get tired and after that retire to bed and then you say, okay, never mind, let me sleep now, I'll wake up early in the morning. But that waking up early in the morning is pie in the sky. Because most of the time that waking up early in the morning doesn't work out. So if you are in the masjid, now you would, with brothers, with fellow musallis, so you get himmat. Now everybody is making ibadat, so we too get himmat to engage in some form of ibadat. So this ta'aleem, now sometime a person may think like now, this ta'aleem, now we just listening to hadith, somebody is reading hadith, we listening to the hadith. So Hazrat Al-Kamar radiallahu ta'ala, and he mentioned that to learn one aspect of deen, to me it is more beloved than slaughtering 100 camels. 100 camels, slaughtering it and distributing it. To learn one aspect of deen is more greater than to slaughter 100 camels and distribute the meat. So here, coming to this subject matter of ours, the meeting and conversing of the souls after death. Once the person has passed away, now what happens to the soul? What happens to the ruh? So Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, now who is this Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala? Very, very famous sahabi. He was the sahabi who was granted the honor of hosting Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madina Sharif. After Hijrat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first stopped at Quba. Then from Quba, when he came to Madina Sharif, so all the people of Madina Sharif, they wanted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay in their house. See, they could do it. They could do it because their homes were in conformity with deen. My Shaykh Muspatir Sadhan al-Barakatum, he always says that to take stock of ourselves, we must ask ourselves, we know how we left our home now and came. If Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was here, would we be comfortable without phoning home and telling them making any alterations there? Will we be comfortable to take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to our house and then allow him to just go through the whole house? Our cupboards, every room in the house, will we be comfortable to just allow, to take Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and let him go through our homes? So Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, each one of them, they wanted Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to their house. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that must leave the camel, because the camel is under the command of Allah, and the camel will stop where it is supposed to go. So the camel stopped at a plot, an open plot, and that plot later on became Masjid al-Nabawi. The closest house to there was the house of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, he had a double story house. So he offered Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the upper story, because he felt, now how is he going to walk on the top and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is at the bottom? But now look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's riayat, his consideration. He said that, see, so many people are going to come to meet me. Different people are going to come, they want to accept Islam, everything. Now if I'm on the top, now every time you're going to get disturbed and the people have to come upstairs, rather I be down, you go away on the top. Because most of the people are going to come to see me, so I will be able to attend to them while I am down. And there are so many other incidents that are mentioned of that zamana. So khair, he is the rawi, he is the narrator of this hadith sharif, Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. He reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when the ruh of a mu'min is taken out, the soul of a believer is taken out, then the marhum bandas of Allah ta'ala come forward to meet him. All the other people that have passed away, the other believers that have passed away, they now come forward to meet this person. Now in the previous weeks we learned that even before the soul comes out, the malaika come. We learned so many thousands of malaika, till where his eyes can see, the malaika are there. And then Malak al-Maut comes and sits on his head side, and the malaika come with the taqt, and there is a piece of silk on top of the taqt, and then there is rehan and umber and musk and all that on the taqt. And now when his soul is put onto the taqt, and what a fragrance it gives. So that is the welcome that the malaika give him. And then from heaven to heaven, how the malaika welcomed that soul in each heaven. So that is one aspect of it. But now after that, when the soul is going to barzakh now, is going into the world of the qabrs. So now the people that have passed away, the different believers that have passed away, all their souls are also there. So their souls now come forward to meet him. Now some of them would recognize him. This is my brother, this is my father, this is my mother who has come. Somebody, grandfather passed away, he now sees his grandson coming. Father passed away, he now sees his son coming. Husband sees the wife coming, wife sees the husband coming. So the souls come forward to meet, they say, now who came? It's like, you know, when you go to the airport to receive the Hujjaj. So now you wait to see, now who, oh, that certain person, oh, he's from our town, that person is from there, there's my father is coming, or my son is coming. So like that, these souls are going into barzakh. Now the different believers who have already passed away, they come forward to meet these souls, to welcome the souls that are passing away. In the same manner that a bringer of glad tidings is met in the dunya. Same like how in the dunya, a bringer of glad tidings is met. In the same way, when the soul is going into the barzakh, those believing souls come to meet this person. Then some from amongst them, they say, you know what, let him rest. Let's not trouble him now. Let him rest. He has come from a place of trials. He has gone through a lot of distress, a lot of pain. He has just come through the bridge of death. So let him have a rest. So first they will allow him to rest. It's like when a guest from overseas comes home, so first we will tell him, now you need to relieve yourself, you need a meal, you need to take a rest, etc. Now we want to know what's happening that side also, but first we allow the person to rest, and then later on now we'll get into a discussion with him. So after he has his rest, thereafter they begin to ask him. They start asking him now, that certain person was staying on my street, how's he? What my son is up to? What is my son doing? Now if, say, the father passed away, and now maybe one of his sons